Alright, welcome members, Adam plugging in here for the Night Watch podcast on Friday the 21st of October 2022. Hope you guys are doing fine out there, wherever you may be. Very strange times, hey, as we move forward and just cover all the latest here on the Night Watch podcast. I hope you guys are doing fine, and as always, thank you so much for your ongoing support. Can't do it without you and some support now, so really good to have you guys on deck here. Everything's up on the website, questfiles.com, of course, so enjoy and contact me anytime through the website. Got some more podcasts coming up, I think on Sunday. Jay will be back, and then into next week. Always lots going on and lots to discuss, eh? Good chat last night with John as well, so that's up now on the website and out there. Enjoy and get into the members area as well. Chat away and have a look at all the great info going up in the members area. Some really good links going up there to share with folks out there. And we're over on Telegram anyway, you know, having chats over there, and everything's connected on the website now. Got a few articles to cover tonight and to go over, and just before I do that, I'll mention this on all the podcasts, the Night Watch podcasts I do, because I know some of the members might plug in here and there and get different podcasts, so I just want to let them know about this this particular change. Anyway, had a little few issues today setting up a billing portal, you know, like a customer portal for you guys, for the members, and finally got that working today, which is fantastic. I think it was just on my end or something, some troubleshooting we needed to do there. Basically, looking at the Crasfiles members, you guys subscribe to this website to help me keep going for $5 Australian a month, and that is a direct debit. It comes out of your accounts once a month and goes into mine, minus a fee that they take, but that's through Stripe, who have been very good, and it's really rock solid. And the problem is that you guys don't have any access to look at your account or anything like that, or change your card settings or anything. So what's been going on in the past is some of the members have a card change, like their credit card or debit card expires, what they signed up on the website with, and there's nowhere to change it because we can't add that into the website. It won't. We can't do that. And so the what I've been doing is just deleting the account of that member, whoever it is. I delete all that, and then they sign up again with their new card, and then log in with the same details. That's okay, and it's quite fast, but a little bit annoying. Anyway, Stripe have just offered a new sort of billing portal for you know, people who have members on their websites or whatever, and so it's just perfect for me because there's no coding required or anything difficult. They just supply you a link, and we've put that up on the website now. And I'll just let you know where that is. When you log into the Crasfiles website and you're logged in, near the top of the website, just above the Cras clock, you'll see your members login box. So it'll tell you you're logged in as your name and your account status is active. Edit profile, log out, and then down the bottom is billing settings. That billing settings is now also in the blue members drop-down menu. We've put it in two places. And if you click on that billing settings, it will open up a window, this is through Stripe, and get you to put in your email associated with the website, what you use to for the Crasfiles, and then it'll give you a green tick, and then it will send you a code to that email to put into the code box, sort of like logging into your bank or something like that. So you put that code into the code box there, and it will take you to a portal with all your information there, you know, all your settings. So that's really cool, and you can also add your new card in there if you have one, so you don't have to contact me, and we don't have to log you out or anything. If you have a new credit card or debit card, or you've lost it, or your one's going to expire soon, because sometimes when the members' credit cards have expired. It tells me in the Stripe dashboard that the cards have expired, and it will send a couple of emails out just reminding that person. Sometimes people don't answer and I have to delete the account. It's really frustrating, and they haven't been on the website for ages. Most of the active members, they'll say, "I've got a new card. How do I change that?" Well, all you do now is just go into that billing settings and you can change your card. You can delete the account. Hopefully you don't have to, but you can delete your account in there, and it just gives the Crasfiles members total control over their accounts, so they can see the next payments, how much they've paid, and see all your details in that customer portal. So I'll mention that on each podcast we do, because it's an important little change there that I've been waiting for about a couple of years now. That was sort of a little niggly bit of a frustrating thing that members couldn't, because a lot of members had contacted me over the last couple of years with new credit cards, or they've lost them and they want to change them. So I've got to bloody delete the account and then get you to log back in again, and it's a little bit frustrating. Now you can do it in the billings settings. So just follow that when you need to, and take a look at your settings. And if you need to change your credit card or anything, do that. Any issues, let me know through the Crasfiles website email. Interesting times. There's a little bit to cover tonight in Australia, and I think I have a video here as well. So what's going up on the Telegram channel? So, oh my dear, we've got more hacking scandals. So obviously I was talking to John last night about the new Medibank and so-called hacking attack. We had Optus and Woolworths and all of this. And so the latest one apparently is Energy Australia, the power company. So here we go again, another cyber attack, customer data stolen from Energy Australia. This is astounding. This is so completely obvious that it's an inside job, and that this is a psychological operation. It's embarrassing, and this is obviously to usher in the digital ID system, eh? What we were talking about last night with John. Well, the Medibank system supposedly got hacked. We've had now four in a row: Optus, telecommunications company, Woolworths, Medibank Private, and now, of course, Energy Australia. Energy Australia, yeah, one of the biggest power companies supplying people, you know, their electricity for their homes and units and stuff, and Australia is now being hacked by the guys on the dark web. Isn't this absolutely insane? Absolutely crazy times, folks. This is so obvious it hurts that this is where they want to go with all of this. So why don't I play a couple of videos here, whatever I have, just to catch people up anyway.
Let's go to Gabrielle Boyle, who's in Sydney. Gabby, how many people could be exposed? Ali, Carl, good morning to you both. 4 million citizens, 4 million people who use Australia's largest private health insurer, Medibank. They are very nervously waiting this morning to see the next step of these hackers. They confirmed in the last day or so that they do have a large amount of private information. Among that, the names, the ages and the dates of birth of 4 million people. It remains to be seen whether they have credit card information as well, but that is very possible and very likely. The Australian Federal...
Police
are investigating, as certainly the cybersecurity.
Oh, that's cutting out on me, folks. I'll let that catch up, but there you go. Let me turn my Wi-Fi on. Maybe that will help.
The minister has described this as a dog act. It would be a very nervous wait for people using this private health insurer. Certainly we know the hackers are honing in on who they are threatening. They are threatening to release private personal medical information of media personalities, politicians and actors as well. People who would really want their private information kept private. Certainly we know, as I said, the AFP are investigating.
Actors. Well, they're actors, aren't they? It's all an act.
We don't know the details of that, but certainly we're expecting more information in the coming hours,
Ali. Fuck off. Fuck off. What a bunch of wankers. You're all actors. What a load of shit this is. Unbelievable. You can see how the mainstream media play into the role and scaring everybody. Ooh, they've got my name and age. Ooh, the government have that fucking anyway. Give me a break. You can see the media hamming this up. You know what I mean? Just hamming it up. It's unbelievable. What a joke. Let me see. Is this the same woman?
Let's go to Gabrielle Boyle, who's in Sydney. Gabby, how many people could be exposed?
Yeah, that's the same video anyway. Yeah, that was the same video I was just playing there, but there you go. Unbelievable time. So, you know, we know that the original fake hacking of Optus was a joke, and because it's the timing, it just makes you laugh. It's a joke. I mean, that is childish. What they're trying to do is obviously all about their digital ID ushering it in, which is what they're about to do. But to do four big companies like this in a row in the space of a couple of weeks, and now two today, or in the last couple of days, two, Energy Australia and Medibank Private, I mean, give me a break. Who honestly believes this nonsense? You know. But as I said, you can see how the media ham it up and play into the fear-mongering and scare the hell out of everybody, and your data's been breached and all of this. Really just absolutely incredible times, isn't it? I don't have anything more that I can see at this moment. And I was talking about the Medibank so-called hack to John last night, but what an absolute joke, eh? What an absolute joke. So now Energy Australia have been hacked. I sit here and just, well, what do you do but just laugh at this? I mean, if people buy this, my goodness. What times we're living in, folks. What times we're living in, eh? I mean, really seriously, anyway, moving on. God. Just watch them ram in this digital identity system, man, and my gov. All this touchless ID and facial recognition and this new system, it's already waiting, it's already installed in most parts. So, you know, wait for this to come in. Anyway, in more Australian news, and I hate really mentioning this because I don't like to even really talk much about these stupid fucking brain dead idiots. But this came out today, and I was driving today and heard it on the radio and was just kind of laughing to myself. Remember when we were talking about this stupid idiot Greens Senator Lydia Thorpe? Remember we were discussing this stupid moron in the Australian Parliament? This is the Greens Senator Lydia Thorpe. I've done some podcasts on this nitwit, this half-witted fucking zealot. You know, getting up in Parliament and being argumentative and just a pain in the ass and annoying the hell out of everybody, because this is what they do, trying to prove I don't know what point anyway. Looks like she's finished. Looking at the media today, they're saying that the Greens Senator Lydia Thorpe is facing an internal investigation and the prospect of parliamentary censure following revelation she failed to disclose a relationship with a former bikey boss. These people are the scum of the society, aren't they? So, you know, here she is screwing bikey bosses, you know, what a lunatic. The ABC revealed on Thursday that Senator Thorpe briefly dated the ex-president of the Victorian Rebels Outlaw Motorcycle Gang, Dean Martin. What a name. While sitting on a parliamentary law enforcement committee, which received confidential briefings about organised crime, the revelations have prompted concerns across the political spectrum about a perceived conflict with her role on a law enforcement committee of parliament. So The chair of that committee, Labor Senator Helen Polly, has launched an investigation into any potential conflicts of interest here. But I did hear today that she has to step down, that she's being forced out. Let's hope that she doesn't, get forced out of politics altogether and take money from the taxpayers, because that would be... that would be unacceptable for all of us taxpayers, citizens, illegally, by the way, in this country, for this fucking fool to step down out of her role after such a short time with this communist party and then, you know, take payments for the rest of her stupid life off our backs. So, you know, I think that she needs to be thrown out into the street, really, with nothing. Anyway, what a joke, eh? What a joke. So, this is just, I bring this up because this is this half-wit, nitwit that we were talking about on previous podcasts about this moron, and now looks like she's finished, which, it's good to see, isn't it? It's good to see. It's something. We take what we can get, and this is good kind of times to see these people going down like this. You know, I'm enjoying it. Cheers. I did just this is just from couple of weeks ago, but I did bring this up the other night on the podcast, just in case any of the members plug in and out and don't get all the podcasts. If you're on the Crasfiles website, you're logged in as a member, there's a blue members in the toolbar there under the Crasfiles logo. It's a blue members, and if you drop that down, hover over it, you'll see members area. That'll take you into the members area we have built, where there's a chat room and lots of all the member stuff is in there. And you'll see podcasts. If you click on podcasts, there's like over 40 pages going back to 2015 that you can access there. You can access the Night Watch podcasts with Adam in that list as well. That's these ones, because there's three, I think, displayed at a time on the page. And if you want to go back and listen to some other ones that I've done, just click on that link there. And that will bring up all the Night Watch podcasts since I started. And you've got your members login and to join, and also your billing settings that I covered there before anyway. The other night anyway, I was talking about, and last night with John, this is from WA Today, the draconian rebranded WA pandemic laws will shock the public. This is what Emperor Mark McGowan, the King of Western Australia, pounding his ape-like chest up there with his suit on, though, up there on top of a building, I own Western Australia and everybody in it. Mr. Sociopathic Compromised Mark McGowan, the King of WA. Anyway, Western Australia will keep its draconian state of emergency powers, according to the opposition, with a new bill due to be introduced. No one can stop it because... he's kind of like the John Howard days. This guy has total control over the parliament, I'm guessing, because of the support as well that he got from the people of Western Australia, supported him in such large numbers. He came back into power seemed like a few minutes. And not only did he come back into power, he came back with, almost very, very strong control of the entire government there. So it's Daddy Mark McGowan, folks. He's your daddy now. He owns you. And this will go through. This terrible measures will pass through. So he's rebranding the pandemic laws, of course, rather than winding them back like he promised he would. And so these incredible powers, which allowed for the state's intrastate and interstate borders to be closed, and during the height of the fake-demic, and for mandatory lockdowns and shutting the entire Peel region and city of Perth down for nothing. They were first introduced in 2020 and have been in place under a rolling system ever since in this communist land of Western Australia. So, because that's what it is, it's communism. On Wednesday, the state government is due to introduce the Emergency Management Amendment COVID-19 Provisions Bill 2022 to allow the state to go to a lesser level of alert. However, Liberal leader David Honey claimed the proposed new laws, which will expire after 2 years, were appalling and would shock most members of the public. The state of emergency will not end. This act simply continues the state of emergency under another name, he told Radio 6PR. So the amended laws can include seizing your car, seizing your house. In fact, they can break into both of those under these laws. They can direct any person to do anything that they consider reasonable to deal with that particular concern they have. None of that is subject to any scrutiny. So the Western Australian spook police forces can smash down your door, folks. This is from WA Today newspaper. And people were thinking I'm joking the other night. These police forces can come in and smash down your door or break through your windows at the middle of the night with their dogs and their weapons because they consider you sick, for example, and that you've got COVID-19 or something like that, and take you away. Throw you in a van, I guess, put a sack over your head, put you in the back of a black van, and off you go. What's next? Black site torture areas, where they do all this to you. Where are they going to take people? Seems unbelievable to be reading this stuff in 2022, but I am, and that's a fact. The thing is, this is only going to get worse depending on how much people are willing to put up with. You know what I mean? And if people keep putting up with this, it's going to get worse and more shocking, I'm telling you. It ain't going to stop. So, and as he says here, no scrutiny. No scrutiny. Nothing. They just do what they want. It's lawless. This guy, Honey, who claimed the opposition was not handed a copy, so the opposition government in Western Australia was not even given a copy of the drafted bill. This is what Daniel Andrews was doing. Remember, we were talking about this. None of these other people in the government or politicians were told anything. He just does what he wants because the people allow it. Ultimately, it rests with us, the people, and we allow it, and that's why they're doing it. So the opposition were not even told about this and they weren't even given the bill until 6 p.m. on Tuesday, said the new laws would also remove the need for ministerial or parliamentary oversight as to when a state of emergency is declared. So what does that mean? It means that Emperor Mark McGowan and his Gestapo police forces can declare a state of emergency whenever they want, and there will be no ministerial or parliamentary oversight whatsoever. So no questions, nothing. They just go ahead with it, and no one gets told anything. They come and smash down your door in the middle of the night and terrify your family and take you away, and you're never seen again. Who cares? No one's going to find out anything, and you don't have any rights anymore in Mark McGowan's communist state of Western Australia. I'm sure if this idiot, president of China would take out his, flop out his balls, Mark McGowan would suck on him, you know. We're heading towards the end of the COVID crisis. The COVID con. I cannot comprehend that any parliament would allow these powers to be given to a public servant with no parliamentary oversight at all, he said. So it's astonishing. The Liberal Party think the state of emergency is over. This is now a public health issue, not a police issue, and that's the way it should be treated under the Public Health Act, which has extensive powers. A spokesman for the Premier's office said the new laws would be limited compared to those which introduced at the start of the pandemic. Other than the police forces can smash down your door in the middle of the night. See how they lie about everything? And this is all being done to manage COVID-19, but isn't COVID-19 on the way out, back out to sea? You know? The WA police are going to quickly set up an accommodation and establish an operation centre. Such as the successful Operation Tide, which was based at Optus Stadium. The opposition saying here that it's stooped to a new level. It sure has. The new bill would allow a state of emergency to be issued for rolling 3-month periods for up to 2 years. So again, Emperor Mark McGowan and his police forces in black can issue rolling 3-month periods. 3 months. 3 months. So at a whim, at a drop of a hat, they can come out and say, we're declaring this, we're bringing in this state of emergency measures, and you're all going to get locked down again for up to three months at a time for the next 2 years. And then when that 2 years is up, they're just going to bring in something else, you know what I mean? Because people will just keep taking it. The drafted laws state that a COVID-19 authorised officer, who are they, we don't know, can compel a person to provide their identification and can prohibit their movements in or order their evacuation from a declared area. An officer can also break or enter into any place or vehicle for the purpose of executing their COVID-related powers. So this is really good, isn't it? Power-hungry, egomaniac cops on a power trip, sociopathic, a lot of them, trigger happy, you know, want to inflict misery and pain on people. They can just make up whatever they want and exercise these powers over you, the citizen. The proposed laws also allow officers to continue to enforce isolation. Unbelievable. Mark McGowan's very proud of this. He says it will allow us to enforce mask wearing and bring all these things back. So as John said last night, yeah, this is all part of Agenda 2030. It's all part of the experiment, and this guy's just an ass-licking stooge. And ultimately it rests with the public. And the public standing up here and saying we're done. We're done here. We've had enough. And going with 1 million or 2 million people at Parliament and saying, you're gone, mate. We want you out. Is it going to happen in Western Australia? They all seem to, not our listeners and a lot of people I know, but they seem to love this guy. I don't know what's going on or what's in the water there. It's a beautiful part of the world, but fuck me. Anyway. Oh. Moving right along, folks. Was just reading this today from TOTT News. Melbourne appoints Rockefeller-backed chief heat officers. Oh, my goodness. The city becomes one of six locations, of course, six worldwide, to appoint the heat officers. Did you read this one? You heard about this one? Melbourne heat officers. in what has been described as a vital acknowledgement of how serious urban heat is for Australia, the city of Melbourne has become one of 6 locations in the world to appoint chief heat officers. The move is a first for Australia and is part of an international climate change movement to improve how cities handle heat in a warming world. It's Friday the 21st of October. We're nearly in November here in Sydney, Australia, and I've got a jumper and jeans on and socks, and it's raining outside. In fact, you know, growing up all my life here, November, we're usually jumping in the sea, you know, and it's like sweaty. It's raining and cold outside and windy. You need a jacket if you go out. But don't worry. Don't worry. They're telling you that the environment around us is overheating. It just defies belief. It just defies belief. And they're telling you that the world is heating up. This is what Sharon was talking about. This is what they want you to think when the opposite is happening. In partnership with the US-based Adrian Asht Rockefeller Foundation Resilience Center, 6 cities around the world now have chief heat officers dedicated to reducing heat risks. Wonder how much they get paid. Will you get one of these heat officers in your house when you're cooking on the stove at night and the stove's too hot? He's going to burst through your front door with a mask on and a hazmat suit on and tell you that you've got the gas too high and the room's too hot, you know. They're going to turn your heater off. It's like a horror movie, isn't it? I mean, seriously? Of course, the usual suspects are behind the scenes. Melbourne, Australia, Lord Mayor announces city's first ever chief heat officers. Every city needs a chief heat officer. Melbourne just got 2, by the way. I know you've been waiting to hear that, and you're very excited about it like me. I couldn't wait for this. I mean, I've been unable to sleep. I can't think, you know. I've been shaking. It's like, when are we going to get heat officers in our cities? It's not until that day comes that I can actually calm down, you know. Melbourne is already experiencing the consequences of climate change with extreme heat. A life-threatening reality, said Lord Mayor Sally Capp. Or I'll put an R there and take away one of the P's for crap. But isn't it flooding down there and people are all getting flooded out? But don't worry, it's extreme heat. Well, I guess they can control the weather. I don't know. I guess they'll just turn up the dial maybe whenever they want to prove their point. Anyway, these people are proud to become champions for taking leadership and action and addressing extreme heat. As I said, I've got a jumper and jeans on, and it's nearly November, by forging new partners with the Rockefeller Foundation and their resilience centers for the smart cities. Anyway, all these nitwits and halfwits and clowns will oversee the work of managing the risks of extreme heat in the city. That's right. I think if you see these people, you should just go up and punch them in the head. The old and tired global warming message reaches new levels. As Melbourne's first climate adaptation strategy from back in 2009 explains, Australians have a propensity to participate in events in very hot conditions. Well, people like to have a sauna, don't they, when they go to the health club and stuff. I guess that's just evil. According to Melbourne, Living Melbourne strategy, heart attacks increase by 10.8% when the daily temperature reaches 30 degrees. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I mean, I've never known that, but I guess if the media says that, that's true. Here we go, folks, here we go. If the temperature in summer in Australia reaches 30 degrees, which is common, we get those temperatures, even over, you're going to have a heart attack now. Just wanted to let you know that. And so they're bringing in this new climate adaption and smart strategies and everything, and they're bringing in these heat inspectors and everything, and working with the Rockefeller Foundation and the Resilient City Mob, because they don't want people to have heart attacks when the temperature reaches 30, when most of us are enjoying that and going to the beach. And there you go. So here they are telling you that heart attacks increase by 10.8% when the mean daily temperature reaches 30 degrees. My goodness. My goodness. Put simply, heat is deadly, and it is coming for all of us. Heat that is inexplicably caused by human CO2 emissions and farting cows, of course. So the group has also cited, I'll put this up later if I have the time, cited regular power failures during recent Victorian heat waves as a reason to invest more effort into addressing rising temperatures. Failures wouldn't have anything to do with Australia's foreign ownership of electricity, though. Stop asking so many questions. Of course. And yes, here we are again with another climate group backed by multi-million dollar offshore influencers. And the city of Melbourne already has the Cool Roots project, which allows for a path to be plotted through Melbourne based on live temperature data. And there are also heat health experts. So we don't just have medical experts that I always talk about. You know, when I say the experts are back, now we've got heat health experts. Cool places and mapping, and heat-specific support for people who are homeless. So you're going to see the heat health alert officers going around in their cool uniforms on the streets of Melbourne, picking up and helping people who are living on the streets and homeless. And maybe they're going to have like cooling body suits. So they, you know, like kind of like a zip up suit, and they quickly put it on you and they zip it up, and it like cools you like air conditioning from within, you know. Victoria also has a world-leading urban forest strategy to guide urban planning and design, and toolkits such as the Guide to Urban Cooling Strategies and the Green Factor Tool. It's the fucking time. Yeah. And the Green Factor Tool. But they say this simply isn't enough to protect people, you see. Because if the sun comes out and it gets to 30 degrees, guess what? It's heart attack time, folks. But don't worry, it doesn't have anything to do with the mRNA clot shots you got. Now we must send in the heat officers to level things up a notch. I hope I see these heat officers, because I'm just going to mock them so bad. What are they going to do? The appointments of heat officers are reportedly a response to projections of a hotter climate alongside more frequent and intense heat waves. Completely natural and non-geoengineered heat waves, of course. The first of these officers were installed in Miami-Dade County in the United States in 21. Appointments followed in Greece and Chile and Mexico. In less than 2 years, these groups have overseen projects such as developing new ways to monitor urban heat, trialing cool pavement materials, and creating refuges from the heat. I think that you just should have big air conditioners everywhere you go, you know? You know, like street lights like that, but just big air conditioners out of the ground. Just boo. Like their counterparts, Melbourne's group will focus on the informal settlements and markets most exposed to increasing heat. New shading and tree plantings will help protect important spaces. I'm looking forward to the shading. Mexico is currently sponsoring the rollout of green roofs across state-owned buildings such as schools and hospitals. This includes 1,000 square meters of vegetated rooftops to help keep the building cooler. For Melbourne, practical actions might include trials of urban forms that allow for mixed plantings across buildings, infrastructure and streets. Maybe we can just wear plants instead of clothes. You know, we just wrap ourselves in mossy plants. And, you know, we just have this green skin and we go to work every day. Hi, Harry. Hi, Dick. You know, have a drink at the water cooler and we're all just wrapped in this mossy plants and vegetation and weeds growing out of us, you know. Maybe that would keep us cool. And, of course, the infrastructure on the streets and another projected focus will be to manage traffic and take account of local climate patterns. Melbourne's heat waves often peak in the very late afternoon as people travel home. Reducing car traffic and adding cool trams and buses at these times will help move more people safely. So using more air conditioning, I guess, to all these services, which is going to, pump up the electricity supply, isn't it? You know? Why don't they have, like, free beer in all the trams and buses in the middle of summer, you know, with these nice cool fridges, and you just go and grab a bottle of beer at the back of the carriage. Much of our existing work on urban heat has been done from desktops and satellites. It's time to hit the streets and start negotiating the technical, social and political worlds that determine how Australian cities respond to heat. Isn't this childish? I mean, you just laugh. What can you do but laugh? But as predicted, the election of Anthony Albanese signified a transition to driving the sustainable agenda ahead of 2030, and now that many of the surveillance apparatuses are in place. So this follows other news, such as calls for Australia to stop eating meat, recent geoengineering experiments, hoping to save the Great Barrier Reef and other madness, all based on subjects where the science is questionable at best. The circus continues to roll on, folks. It really does. And oh boy, I've really heard it all now. I mean, if you laugh at climate change and the whole climate joke, you think, how far can they take this? Well, there you go. My goodness. I was sent this from Hideout Now. I don't know if anyone has heard about this or confirm it. It's just the one article I'm going off. Australia is now offering to pay for your funeral if the forced COVID jab kills you. COVID vaccine shots were mandatory in Australia. If you didn't get the shot, you didn't work. The Australian government is now paying for your funeral if the COVID vaccine kills you. Isn't that nice? Via Tommy Robinson on Telegram, the Services Australia website now has instructions and forms for family members to fill out if the forced experimental COVID clot shots kill someone in your family. Deceased COVID-19 vaccine recipients, payments and funeral costs. In cases involving death, you may be eligible for payment and support for funeral costs. We'll make this payment to the deceased's estate. And not only that, they can actually get Greg Hunt, former Health Minister of Australia, Greg Hunt, to actually sing at your funeral if you die. That's going to be wonderful too. From Services Australia, what proof you need before you can claim? You need to get your doctor to complete a COVID-19 vaccine claim scheme medical report, and you need this as proof when you submit the claim. We need your doctor's responses to help us assess your claim. You need to provide the following documents with your claim: the deceased's death certificate or medical cause of death certificate, proof that you're acting on behalf of the deceased, proof of any funeral costs and who paid like recipients, proof of any amounts you got or will get from third parties like funeral insurance, proof of the deceased partner and children's dependent on the earnings of the deceased at the time of death is applicable. So basically, you've got to jump through 1,000 hoops of fire in one go. How to calculate payments and funeral costs. You need to show your actual costs for the funeral. Remember to deduct any amounts you got or will get from third parties. Australian Vaccine Death Payment Plan. What is the COVID-19 Vaccine Claims Scheme? The Australian government has developed a claim scheme that can be accessed by people who have suffered a moderate to significant impact following an adverse reaction to the vaccination for COVID-19. The scheme currently only covers claims from the three vaccines that are approved for use in Australia, which is AstraZeneca and Pfizer and Moderna. The vaccines covered by the scheme may change in the future to nothing. One of the fantastic things about the scheme is that you can make a claim online seeking reimbursement for expenses or compensation for your injury. So your life's fucked, your heart's gone, and you could die at any minute, but you can log on to this portal and you can claim some compensation. Isn't that wonderful? Without the need to involve a lawyer or anyone else for legal proceedings. To make a claim, the first thing you need to do is receive treatment from a medical practitioner for the adverse reaction. You will need to have a treating doctor diagnose your symptoms as one of the clinical conditions included in the approved product information for the specific vaccine you received. But as we were talking about the other night, what they're doing in Queensland, they want to shut all the doctors up. So no doctor's going to treat you for this because they won't accept it, that you were actually damaged by the jabs, because they could lose their license through APRA. This is the thing. So the government on one hand is setting up these complicated schemes where you have to jump through 1,000 hoops of fire to actually get 1 cent out of them because your life's been ruined from the jabs they pushed onto you down your throat. You know, on the other hand, they're threatening any good doctors left in the system that they'll lose their license and they'll go and send the media after them on a witch hunt to ruin their lives if they talk about any of this stuff to help you or anything. So no doctor coming into the next years is going to sign off on any of this, so you won't be able to get a doctor to work with you to diagnose the symptoms that you're having and the injuries you've got from getting those COVID-19 clot shots. So no one's going to want to help you or work with you. So you won't be able to access these bullshit schemes. It says most of us will undergo our vaccination and only experience minor side effects. Maybe your head falling off, your heart exploding like a water balloon in your chest. That's nothing. But what happens if you suffer a moderate to significant reaction that requires treatment? What is the COVID-19 vaccine claim scheme? The Australian government has developed a claim scheme that can be assessed by people who have had suffered a moderate to significant impact following an adverse reaction or event of vaccination for COVID-19. This is through the TGA. This is merry-go-round. This is not going to go anywhere. You're not going to get anything. If you get those injections and you get injured, you're gonna waste your life away going through this bullshit and these hoops of fire. No doctor's going to want to work with you because they don't want to lose their license because they're being threatened by APRA, who are a front for the pharmaceutical corporations, and you're going to get nothing. You're going to get cast aside alone. I'm telling you. They're not going to pay for anything. Not only that, they're going to poison you with these jabs that they forced on you. Then they're going to mock you by saying that they might pay for some of your funeral arrangements. And then when your partner or someone in your family tries to get this done for you and you're dead, they're going to be humiliated and mocked and dragged naked over hot coals and laughed at. I think I posted this one the other night, which is absolutely unbelievable. If you didn't read it, from Rebel News there, and it came out as well on other outlets, but unvaccinated SES volunteers banned from helping flood victims. This happened in New South Wales. Mandatory vaccination requirements for volunteers described as absolute madness as Victorians suffer through flood crisis. So Victorian flood victims are being denied assistance because unvaccinated SES volunteers are not allowed to help them. SES volunteers are required to have at least 2 doses of the clot shots before they can help flood victims. The Liberal Democrats are urging dictator Daniel Andrews to scrap the vaccine mandate as the state floods crisis escalates. But don't worry, Victoria's heating up and cooking up, and they're bringing in the climate heat specialists to fix the situation. Because Victoria's burning up, and if the temperatures reach 30 degrees, everyone's just going to fall down on the streets and have heart attacks. But then here the whole state is flooding. It's absolute madness. While rivers are rising and scores of SES volunteers are not allowed to help because they might not reach double or triple vaccine requirements from Emperor Daniel Andrews, Northern Victoria MP Tim Quilty told the Herald Sun, if the pandemic really is over, as Daniel Andrews claims, why can't members of the SES help out their neighbours during floods? He said that he has been contacted by SES volunteers upset that they were banned from helping fellow Victorians because they had not been jabbed. An SES spokesman confirmed to the Herald Sun that volunteers needed 2 doses of Daniel Andrews' electric juice COVID-19 vaccines to respond to emergencies. Emergency services personnel encounter a lot of vulnerable people in their work, inclusive of those in aged care and health facilities, he said. Emergency services organisations have a responsibility to ensure the health and safety of all members to the extent reasonably possible, and care for the community. He said SES had responded to more than 7,200 calls for assistance in the past week and rescued more than 750 people from flooded waters. It's not the first time unvaccinated volunteers have been barred from assisting in a flood crisis, and this, as I said, happened during the New South Wales floods on the north coast. So we've seen it again, but don't worry, the guys who are running the SES are just doing what they're told. In the interview, if you watch it there, he's just saying it's not us, we're just following orders from the barkers above us, and they're just telling us what to do through Daddy Daniel Andrews, and then it goes on from beyond that. So there you go. This is beyond insane. It's absolutely outrageous. It's sickening. It's beyond words. It's an absolute madness, and it's absolutely disgraceful. But again, it's people are just complaining about it, you know. This is not fair. Why can't we work? Why can't we help people? Oh, Mr. Andrews, this is not fair. Nothing's ever going to get done. This is just going to get worse until the millions of people who live in Victoria and the millions of people who live in Melbourne all get together and go to the Parliament and grab that fucking cunt and drag him out by his head and throw him on the fucking street. And threaten to burn that place down. Nothing is going to change, and it's just going to get worse. And protesting will not change anything until people take the law into their own hands and stand up in their millions. Then it will change in a matter of minutes. Trust me, because this is what the system fears the most. Millions of people standing up and busting down the doors of that Parliament building and dragging that fucking arsehole and throwing him on the street. But they won't do it. They're just going to keep taking it and complaining and whinging about all this, and it's just going to get worse. finishing up here, yeah, from the Defender went up in the Crasfiles chat there tonight. Child abuse on a massive scale. CDC advisors recommend adding COVID vaccines to childhood schedule. We knew this was coming. It's about to come to Australia as well. We knew this was coming. We've been talking about it for ages. And they're going to add these COVID mRNA shots to the childhood immunization schedule as the schedule gets slowly overtaken by these new generation jabs. So the Centers for Disease Control and Causation Independent Vaccine Advisory Committee today, isn't that unbelievable? See how they set up independent vaccine advisory committees, which is the same as their normal advisory committee, but they call it independent to make you think that they're actually doing something and you can believe it. They voted unanimously. So, you know, it's like having... You know, they're all on the same team. So don't worry, it's an independent vaccine advisory committee, but they voted unanimously 15-0 to add COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 6 months old to the new child and adolescent immunization schedules, which will be rolled out in February 2023. And your child will not be able to attend school or childcare and everything. And this is what's coming to Australia. They will not be able to go to school, go to childcare anywhere, unless they've also had the new mRNA vaccines that are coming, the jabs, on top of their normal schedule. So when from a child is born, they get all these jabs up until 5 or whatever. Well, there's going to be all these new jabs coming into play as well. They'll have to get those. Otherwise, they won't be. It'll be, the whole no jab, no play for children in Australia for childcare and everything. Well, it's also going to add into these mRNA jabs are going to be added onto the inoculation agenda that kids already suffer through. Hundreds of the fucking things. Now this on top of it. So these poor kids who've only just entered this world are getting attacked with these hundreds of these fucking jabs. God knows how many there are now on the immunization schedule. How many are there? Nearly 200 or whatever it is, I don't even know. Then they're also going to get the COVID-19 injections. Isn't this wonderful? And, so these vaccine committees, unanimously voting 15-0. It could be 25 or 30-0 or 100-0 or 5,000,000-0. Of course they're going to vote like that because they're just mouthpieces and stooges for the big pharmaceutical corporations who own their asses. So how else are they going to vote? So the recommended adding COVID-19 vaccines for children as young as 6 months old to the new child and adolescent immunization schedule, which will be rolled out in February next year. The revised recommendations accepted today by the committee include the Moderna and Pfizer and BioNTech and BioNTech COVID-19 jabs for children as young as 6 months. 6 months. Old and the Novavax COVID-19 injection for children as young as 12. All COVID-19 jabs being administered in the US to people under 18 are emergency use authorized products, and the US Food and Drug Administration did grant full approval to Pfizer's COVID-19 jabs for ages 12 and older. However, this jab is not available in the US, which means all children who get the Pfizer vaccine are getting the EUA product compared to the Comirnaty vaccine. When asked if an EUA product could be added to the schedule, a Dr. A. Patricia Wodi, a member of the CDC's advisory committee, I'm sure this person's very trustworthy on immunization practices, said the US Department of Justice Office of General Counsel confirmed for the CDC that EUA products can be added. Aren't these people disgusting and putrid? I mean, they're so evil. They're so evil and compromised and disgusting, and they're so happy to be owned by Satan that they just don't even care anymore. I mean, how could you even work for a company that talks like this and does this kind of stuff? Wow, unbelievable. There's no medical or scientific justification to do this. They're saying that the vote doesn't affect what vaccines are required for school attendance. The CDC is merely codifying its pre-existing recommendation. School mandate decisions are made at the state level and county and others. The committee said the discussion doesn't change that, but it will. And this was pointed out that pediatricians and schools and state health officials and all of this use the CDC schedule and guidelines. And so they use the same schedules from the CDC to determine which vaccines to require for children to enter schools. So what was I just saying? This reckless action is final proof here of the corruption, the disgusting corruption of these organizations, how they're just voting all this in. And as I said, it could be 100-1, they're all going to vote the same way. How many more shots will kill your kid? Yeah. Today's vote on adding COVID-19 vaccines mean 18 more shots. One per year between the ages of 6 months and 18 years will be added to the schedule. So overnight, the childhood schedule would go from 54 injections, 72 antigens because of combined shots like MMR, to 72 injections, 90 antigens. This has absolutely nothing to do with health. It's all about profit and power and destroying people's health. The number of shots added to the schedule may, in fact, be higher than this estimate because the accepted revisions did not appear to specify the number of booster doses recommended and linked only to the interim clinical considerations for the use of COVID-19 jabs currently approved in the United States. So the accepted COVID-19 vaccine recommendations that will go into effect in 2023... the age 6 months to 4 years, two doses series at 0 to 4 to 8 weeks, Moderna, and it goes on there, age 5 to 11, the Moderna and the Moderna and the Novavax, Pfizer, BioNTech. For children who are moderately or severely immunocompromised, the recommended primary doses are increased from a two-dose series to a three-dose series. So if you've already got a sick child, they want them to have more so they can kill them quicker, because the whole system around us and all the governments and medical system and pharmaceutical corporations and all this entire system, the media, all of them, are murderers, child killers, child rapists. They want to murder children. They want to murder babies and throw them in the bin. This is what they're doing. You might as well as give these doctors knives, kitchen knives, and just get them to stab it into babies' chests, because that's what they're doing. This is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. And we know about data collected through the CDC, through the adverse events reporting system, indicates serious health risks, especially for children. As of October 7th, the VAERS data for 6-month-olds to 5-year-olds who received a COVID-19 vaccine show reports of 4,279 adverse events, and including 182 cases rated as extremely serious and 7 reported deaths. For 5 to 11-year-olds, there were 14,622 reports of adverse events, including 692 rated as serious and 29 deaths. Absolutely sick, isn't it? Absolutely sick. So, you know, as I said, that article goes on and on and on and on. But anyway, it was good just to cover that little bit there. As I plug out tonight, I'm just past my hour. But there you go. People have been asking, you know, you reckon they're going to add these mRNA Pfizer jabs and Moderna jabs to the childhood immunization register? And as we know, this is based on the guidelines from the CDC, and we know in Australia they go off those guidelines, and most of the schools and all these places go off that. So parents can expect children not being able to attend school and childcare in this country. It's coming if they don't have their doses of the mRNA clot shots, which will include the boosters, and this will be done whatever, you know, a few times a year. So this is going to be part of the no jab, no play schedule. Otherwise, your child won't go to school, won't go to childcare or any of these things. And this is going to, this could come for working adults and stuff as well. Who knows if they're going to bring this back, you know. But it definitely will be children. You can see how sneaky that is. How sneaky is that? They've added it to the childhood immunization register. How sneaky is that? And they know that most of the, as I said, the schools and places go off the CDC, so they will implement that. So your kid's getting all these jabs just to attend school. Now they've got to get all these mRNA shots. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. Well, we homeschool, you know, but it's going to be tough times ahead. Buckle up, folks. Good to chat with you tonight. We are Friday night. Unbelievable times, eh? I will be on Sunday night with Jay Wilderness to cover all the latest there. So that will be a great podcast with Jay. Looking forward to that. And more podcasts coming up in the week. I think at the start of next week, Janice Barcelo will be with me for a chat. And some of my other guests will be back as well, and the great Jim West may be on at the end of next week. I'm really looking forward to chatting to Jim West again. I haven't spoken to Jim for ages, but we've locked a podcast chat in, so I really look forward to that. Let's hope that works out. Jim is a great researcher, incredible man, and you know, it's going to be good just to have a chat about whatever with him. It's always great to have on. Good chats coming up. So I hope you guys are doing fine. Thanks for your support and your ongoing support. Can't do it without you. You know, it's nearly 10 o'clock here in Sydney, Australia. So pretty tiring doing all this. I've had a huge day. I've been up since 6 and this morning, and I've got to put this up now. You know, haven't even had dinner. Running on empty, folks. But I've got to cover the latest and keep the conversations rolling. Huh? So have a good weekend, guys. Have a good weekend wherever you are here in Oz and around the world. And hope you're enjoying the podcast and the website. And contact me anytime. Thanks so much for your ongoing support. Shouting me that cup of coffee here a month is really awesome. And it really helps me to continue. I've had some more costs recently, changing some things around and stuff. It costs me, and you guys helped me greatly to do that. And thank you so much to some of the members who put in some extra payments through the donate tab. It's just, you guys are just amazing. That is so awesome that you do that. Here and there, it is great. I just had like nearly $100 US bill for some work I had recently done on the website, because it's just beyond me. I can't do that, and that just helps me so much to do all this and keep the website up. It's just great, your support to do that. Thank you absolutely so much for that, and you guys are great. So please take care. And enjoy. Keep happy, folks. You know, have a drink on the weekend. Do your stuff. Enjoy yourself. Stay positive. That's the important thing. We have to cover all this stuff. We have to cover it. It's happening, and we have to recognize it. It's really important we do so and keep moving forward. Stay positive. And we'll be back again soon.